Good morning, everybody. Welcome, or good afternoon to you, Michael. Welcome to Robots of Red Tape. Hope everybody's having a great day. As always, I am your host, Nick Schutt. Happy to have my friend Michael Augustini here with me today. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. I'm really good and excited to be talking about AI and photography and things that we both love.
Absolutely, man. I think that, today AI, the intersection of AI and art is something that absolutely fascinates me. In all mediums, but I know that you have a background in photography, but and you also work in the technical space as well. For folks that don't have the opportunity to have spoken with you yet, you mind telling everybody just a little bit about yourself, your background, and and we'll start
Of
there.
course. I'm a lifestyle photographer and AI educator. Sometimes it's AI educator and lifestyle photographer, depending on the day. But the story behind those two kind of titles, how I present myself is I've been working in learning and development space in advertising technology for more than a decade, teaching people how to do stuff. And I have a, I think, strength in explaining complicated things to people so they can learn things. And I'm very enthusiastic about personal development. And while I was doing this career, I'm a highly visual person, so I started also working in photography and built my music photography business. And now I'm more focused on lifestyle photography, so working with brands, with people in terms of that are connected to music, sports, and culture. So this is the AI comes to it in a way where, in the last couple of years, the rise of AI tools has been very influential on my photography business because I have implemented from very early days from was it Jasper AI, I think, or something like that, or they changed the name of, a little later, but then ChatGPT came, Midjourney, and all these tools, and I started using them quite a lot, and they started helping me out, as we all, I guess, know, and we can go more in depth into that. But this is how it kind of fed into my business, and then after a couple of months, working with people and also being a resident of a co-working space, I realized and started asking people, oh, are you using AI tools? I want to be inspired, because in today's era, it's the AI tools can do a lot, but I think that the inspiration is one of the key things that people are maybe missing. And sometimes the inspiration then can inspire you to implement it into your business in many kind of ways. So this is what I started doing also with my business partner, who we founded, We Are Animals AI, which is our consultancy business and education business. And we are helping people with that inspiration, get them started, get them educated on what they can do with those tools, and basically save time to have more time to do the things that matter, to do the specialty. You know, that I use AI to help me out with all different sorts of things, but it enables me to then focus on what I love doing, taking photos. Right, so that's where I see this kind of interconnection. But that's the brief story, I would say, how we got here, basically talking about photography and AI. So these are the pieces, and my L&D experience naturally kind of met with the AI, and I'm very keen on helping people out integrate AI into their companies, explain how they can do this, and inspire them. That's as I was saying multiple times, it's the crucial bit where people, like, the light bulb goes on when they see an example of, like, wow, this is what you can do. Okay, so let me show you know.
Yeah, no, man, that's fantastic. I love it. I think it's a really unique career path for a lot of folks. I think that there's I don't know I don't run into as many people that can sit across both the creative and the technical space, the creative space and the technical space, and excel in both. So it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. And so yeah, as you think about the evolution of AI in art, and I know there's a lot of people out there that use AI generated art specifically. What's the difference in your mind between AI generated art and human created art that is assisted, that uses AI to assist it?
I think the user-generated art, I don't know exact definition, but here's my take, right? Like when you go to Midjourney or to ChatGPT to create an image and you say, imagine that, and you type an image and it creates an image from scratch, that would be the AI-generated image. But we as photographers have been using AI features, which were not labeled AI features before, but now they are, or they're very strong features, is to help us with retouching, to help us with getting rid of objects from the picture, making stuff look how we want it to look, manipulate that picture. And that many times is not just through imagine that, but it's through using certain tools to retouch certain things. This is how I use it nearly on a daily basis, because a lot of the times I need to remove something from people's face. So you can do that with the tools, but now they are AI enhanced tools. So they are better and better and better. I remember I use Adobe Lightroom to edit my photos. And when I needed to do professional retouching on somebody's face, I would go to Photoshop. And because that Photoshop had a better retouching tool, let's say. But nowadays, it has moved so much that all these tools are available in Lightroom directly. So they're available also on my mobile phone. So
Oh,
imagine I'm sitting in a tube, or I'm sitting in a overground, and I can edit those pictures and use those AI enhanced tools to retouch these images. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I click in a button and it retouches the image, but I'm still doing my professional thing, how I learn how to do this. But these tools are just more available, smarter, and a lot enhanced. And they can do a lot of different things in there, right? So one of those things that AI is integrated into, like manipulating pictures, is, for example, adjusting the scale, or generating, if you need to kind of rescale the image and you're like, oh, I needed this backdrop here, or I needed this part, but I have not shot that thing. Now AI can help you out to stretch the backdrop, to stretch the things. I intend to work in, let's say, small studios, or sometimes you're on the go and you have very small backdrop and you need to kind of crop that out or extend that. That's AI tools in Photoshop are fantastic to that. So I would say that's the kind of main difference. But all these days, if you upload the AI generated image and AI manipulated image into a platform, they will all say that it was AI, it's AI image, right? Even though my picture could be 99.7, my picture, but I removed something from it, and it immediately gets kind of labeled as a AI picture because I used some of the AI tools on that.
Absolutely. How do they know? Like, how do they detect? Is that in like metadata of the picture, or like in the picture itself? Okay. So, okay.
I don't know nitty-gritty of details on that. I need to exactly look into this. Even the latest version of Lightroom, I saw that there is a section of like AI. When you use an AI picture, then suddenly you have like an AI section, which is like, oh, okay, fair enough. So they're trying to make it as transparent, I think, as possible. Instagram is also asking you if it was AI enhanced. So
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really interesting. So now, do you think that, and obviously, I think using AI tools and using some of these tools that have been around for a long time to edit and improve and retouch your images versus, is a very different thing than taking a like an AI generated image and using that as, the brand or what have you. So I think there's very, very big difference. Do you think that AI can actually be creative, or do you think it's just mimicking patterns?
I think it's both. I think it's definitely mimicking patterns, but I believe the creativity also in human beings is mimicking patterns, but subconsciously, right? Like you subconsciously saw some patterns somewhere, and then it comes in certain moments, it comes together and you create an image or you get an idea. Similarly, I think AI works, that I use this word like it ate a lot of information. It was trained on a lot of images and stuff like that, so it can mimic those patterns, but it can be very, very creative. And it depends on how you define creativity. If we're looking at creative or being creative, right? Like if AI generates an image that you haven't thought about before and it's completely like new, it can be unique, and sometimes you don't know if it's unique, because how would you know? And that same goes for human beings. You can figure out an image and be like, oh my God, this is an amazing idea. Man, somebody might have done it already 20 times, you just don't know about it, you know? So it's a very thin line in there, I would say.
Yeah, and I agree with you that creativity is largely, in humans is largely pattern recognition. And, I think that there are some people that come up with an idea that nobody else could have seen. You look at like you think about like an Einstein and some of his like theories that were so far advanced and fundamentally changed the way we think about the universe. Something like that, I think, is like that's like a different level of creativity and a different kind of creativity versus, but that being said, like I think that the idea of AI assisted creativity is fascinating. Like I'll do that a lot of the time with business where I have an idea or a thought, and then I'll iterate back and forth with an LLM to refine it more and to have additional perspectives because I know that like it may not be smarter than me, but it has access to more data than I ever will.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
I tend to look at AI as well, as a collaborator. So this is what we also kind of teach, or I try to tell people, like, don't look at it as it just a hammer or a, you know, Swiss knife, but it's your assistant, right? Like, how many of us had a chance in life to have an assistant that would write emails for you? Or probably you did, and that's I think you have the advantage of then having the mindset of using these tools that way. But I can confidently say that most of the people who are using AI tools now have not had an assistant or access to an executive assistant that could help them out with certain types of work, and they're just trying to approach it with that exact mindset of like, oh, I need to write an email, so I'll write an email, rather than being a collaborator, rather than getting some thoughts, getting that mindset of how you said it has access to more data than you will ever have, so let's work together.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And what are some of the more practical day-to-day uses outside of like retouching photographs and things like that? Outside of those, like what are some of the more practical use cases you think for a lot of these AI tools in creative and artistic spaces?
We can kind of approach it from various angles, but I would frame it firstly as we said, using the AI as collaborator and making time and space for the things that you're good at. So many people would ask, will AI replace photography? That's a very nuanced question, but will it replace photographers? Well, I think yes and no. But the creative stuff, the things that we love doing as artists and photographers is doing that. So taking pictures, going out and being in that environment and taking beautiful images. But when we're talking about AI, where it can help is can help release ourselves from the administrative work, the business work that we are doing, or using it, and this is how I predominantly use AI, use it as a coach. So help me out to go through certain situations. Because as freelancers or people that do like photographers and other artists, we tend to spend a lot of time in our heads and dealing with ideas, insecurities, imposter syndrome, confidence problems. And I think AI can help with that, certainly dealing with certain challenges or looking in depth into some problems, dissecting those problems into smaller pieces. This is where I find is really good, because many times I've been procrastinating projects. And the biggest thing about procrastination is that we just don't know where to start. The project is too big, too overwhelming for us. And now we can talk to AI and be like, okay, I'm working on this project. Here's the context. And speaking out loud to AI, it's helping me a lot, because it's like speaking to a human being. I use coaching as well, like human coaching a lot as well. However, the pre-steps that I can do with AI, I do it with AI, because it can help me to tackle the small things where I would maybe spend the precious time of an expert, just identifying the basic stuff. Like, I don't know, I need an expert to help me identify the core things that I need to improve in, rather than just checking out what are the tiny bits that I'm doing wrong, or maybe, like I'm saying, procrastination. What is the smallest step that I can identify in this project that I can do right now or in within the next hour? This is an amazing question or amazing prompt to AI to help you out with that. Administrative works in terms of writing emails, outreach, and things like that. That's phenomenal. Not only that you can tweak your language, as I'm coming from Eastern Europe, and English is not my first language, but with these tools I can improve my English, improve how it sounds, improve how it comes across, with obvious things that, right, like people are like, yeah, this email was written by AI. Well, does it communicate the idea that I want to communicate in the best possible way? That's the question, right? And then we can go into nitty-gritty of, like, does it sound like a human being or not? Like, what is it? What is the point? Do we want to sound like a human being and spend hours of time to writing email, or do we want to clearly communicate to someone the message that we want to communicate in the fastest possible way? Do it from a mobile phone, do it on a voice note, things like that. So these are the kind of high overview of strengths where I see AI helping in my business, and helping it a lot, like framing the projects, dissecting into smaller pieces. The administrative work, as I was saying, and the creative process as well, because what you can do, and we're touching on more AI generating images, is you can now not only go to Pinterest and create mood board, but you can create a mood board that is specific for that project, specifically showing the things that you want to show to the client before you go on location to shoot it, and save hours of times and mistakes and things like that. So you can tweak it in meetings. Now you can type something in Midjourney and say, imagine these two guys sitting here and that, and it generates you very close to final idea. And I don't need to use it as a, as a brand. I don't need to use the AI generated image. We can go on set and take that image, but we at least have an idea where we're going in a better way than just with words or a mood board from Pinterest that might resemble some things but might not.
Yeah, I would also assume that like things like location scouting would make would be would like AI could help with that, right? So obviously like the administrative stuff, yeah, as we both know, it's a lot of parts to running a business that nobody talks about, or where you have like doing your books, keeping track of finances, projections, business development. Like, there's a whole business development, client touching, continuing to touch and follow up with clients and prospects. All of that piece is like absolutely can help there. But like I would assume like location scouting would be great. You could, because it can, again, you could probably tell, and I haven't used it in this way, you could probably tell it's like, I want to go shoot in some like a location kind of like this, but like, or kind of like this location, and give it some descriptions within you can geofence it as well. And it'd probably be able to like go search Google Maps and help find some pretty cool spots you hadn't known about.
I think I have I can show you even a really interesting example where I used it. Was it the last year? On I got a call from a client to shoot a podcast cover for someone, and I got a several words from them, what it should look like, what the brief was. And my idea was, okay, I can go to Midjourney and generate those images to kind of help with the direction of the project, because we not only had client who was there, but we have also had producers who were scouting the locations. What would be the best locations to do it on? And one big discrepancy that I noticed on the first meeting was that the idea that the client presented and the location that was presented did not match together. And we're like, yeah, no, we'll figure it out. It was like, how do we figure it out if the location is not right, So let me just show you, if I may,
Please.
so that we see what we were talking about. And the brief was simply, where's this? Can I best do this? Okay, let me change to Jersey. Great. Yeah, I had a podcast cover brief, which was just these, six, seven bullet points, and The main thing was two people standing in the living room full of books behind them and so on and so forth. And I remember like today that the production was like, oh, we have this beautiful house in here, we can do that. And it was a lot of like purple on the walls and different things. I was like, this doesn't sound right, right? And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, just give me a couple of hours and I'll come back with some images. So I generated images that could work based on that brief. So let me just zoom in here. So four images from Midjourney. I spent about an hour or so on doing those. And I was like, oh, this is how I see the brief. So I went to the client, and the best response was from the client was like, okay, let's do it in this location. I was like, okay. How do I explain it to you? And but the process went, we found a really good location, we found a hotel to do this with, and this is how the shoot went. These were the images that we took eventually. And this was the final result, if I may, and this was the podcast cover that we got from it. So getting from Midjourney, then going to the shoot, so we knowing what we're doing, and then going back to the to kind of this is the final result. So that would be kind of like a full cycle as I would use AI to enhance my work. And then we're not talking about manipulating image, but you see it saved us a lot of time discrepancies and maybe stress on the set if we would be in a very different spot to compared to the idea that we were having from the client.
Absolutely. No, and I like it because I mean that mirrors a lot of my process in other in other ventures that I have, where like one of the things I always like to do is I'll shoot over test, like example work product of like, hey, here's like seven resumes. Who do you like? And rank them for me and tell me why so that I understand and I make sure that we're going in the right direction and we, we're all on the same page. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing. It's just like, hey, use AI to create some mock-ups and then we'll walk it back from there and see. 'Cause I hear what you want and let's make sure that this is exactly it before we go on site and go on location.
And the hour spent of generating those Midjourney images was far more, I think, productive than if I would go on Pinterest and look for living rooms with lots of books. And that helped me out in a better way. And I think we're getting into one thing that these tools have in common, and many people have, I think, challenges with, because these tools are enormously powerful. It depends on, like we were saying, on the creativity of the user that we are what we are inputting in there. And you are asking about if the AI could be creative or not. I mean, it could be creative, but eventually it's the human being who is putting the prompt in there and putting the creativity in there. Like, what do I imagine I would like this tool to do, right? So I feel like this is another stage where we had analog photography, digital photography, CGI, and now we have AI, and it's growing from that. And I think it's another like super powerful, but it's a tool. It's for us to use as a tool that it will enhance our work in various different aspects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm inclined to agree with you. And like I do wonder though, because as we I just read something that people are starting to talk like AI engines and as the AI kind of and words that it uses that weren't popular are becoming more popular. I don't have any examples off the top of my head, but how do you think that as I think about like a lot of the really famous artists out there, and I don't care what medium we're talking, whether it's painting or sculpture or photography or music, is that like the ones that really stand out are the ones that have their own unique voice, in my opinion. How do you think that like understanding people and our like let's just say desire to do things the easiest way, and how do you think that like obviously everybody has access to most of these tools, how do you develop as an artist? How do you develop a unique voice while using these tools that essentially push you to like the to the mean to the average?
I think the artistic way of doing things. I like Rick Rubin's book, which is talking about all the creative ways of using your own conscious and subconscious mind doing that. We have the again, it's like electric guitar, everybody can use that, right? And then we got into computers where you can synthesize the electric guitar sound. So everybody who can play piano can play guitar and so on and so forth. With the AI, it's again another tool, and we are in the era, obviously, now where there will be more music, more art generated by AI tools than anything else. And I don't honestly know the answer, what will be, how we will spot if it is or is not. Because it's so good, it's so like perfect in some ways, that it generates lyrics in couple of seconds. You input it into kind of music generation thing, and it just even the biggest producers in the world. I just saw so recently a YouTube video that how they were doing this, and they were like, "Well, this is it. This is where we are," and it sings in a perfect voice. If you don't want it to sing in a perfect voice, we can make it even, we can tweak it so that it doesn't sound like that. But what I see in people who are in the music business or even art is slightly going backwards a little bit. So dwelling on the historical tools, going back to, let's say, even personally going back to analog photography, studying that rather than perfectionizing my digital things. There are many artists who would be like, oh yeah, AI is helping them to create these dreamland phenomenal images. That's not my style. It's something else, and there's a market for that as well. And same musicians, you can see how they go and combine those analog tape recordings because that has some kind of a power and meaning to them. So it is a combination of things, but I'm not sure how it will, or if AI will completely take over in terms of everything will be done by AI. I don't believe so. The artistic way is to put yourself into it, and the quality of things will be determined by people. And I don't believe it's determined by masses, because we can see that now the top artists in the world, whatever they release, it's going to be popular, right? If Ed Sheeran releases an album, it's going to be a popular with a very high percentage, so it's that kind of like, what is quality, what is and I'm not saying that Ed Sheeran's work is not quality, right? But whatever he releases, that is it. Similar, it gives power to I would say smaller names, smaller, let's say up and coming artists, to use these tools to get them to a certain level. For example, when we're talking about music, mastering a recording, you need to have a special person to do this, or you can use a cheap AI tool that is integrated in that software to master that for you, and you can get your music out, and you don't have a roadblock. So it is kind of like, there'll be a lot of not great things, or will be flooded with the AI art, but also there will be artists who, because of this AI tools, will be able to surface their work and become more and more influential.
No, I think that's an interesting take, and I hope that you're right. I think that I do think though that as it's I think first when you look at and well, I mean, speaking about the music industry specifically, right? You look at the last 50 years, right? So 1985 to present. Well, 1975 to present. Let me do math right first. So 75 to present. In the 70s, there were you had to you needed a record company, you needed a record deal to even get your music out there, right? And they were gatekeeping what came out, they were deciding what got played on the radio, and then as you from there, going from there to frankly, like having the ability to stream music. and making it easy for artists to upload music. And back in the day, obviously there's been like a number of people that have gotten famous off of YouTube and a few other places. Made it easier to move around that. And I think that you're right that it will lower and I think that because of that, there's a lot more music out there. It's easier to distribute it. There isn't the barrier of needing to go out and like physically press a record, right? Like you can just go download it. And that's great. And I think like when you look at the number of artists, they're ha like putting music out, it has increased by a massive amount over the last 50 years. And I think that as a result, like there's like I think there's just going to be a percentage of it that's not great, right? And that percentage may have increased. I don't know. I don't really know. But also not great is good and bad is those are subjective. So I think
Exactly.
the cream will still rise to the top. The people that are that can catch something, that have something to say, which is something I always like about music, is like what tell me something, tell me a story, make me
And
feel something.
adding to that is as well is it's never been a better opportunity for artists to find their audience and find their niche. Like you're saying, the gatekeeping from the previous years, if you were an indie artist that you wanted to do something, it was very tough because oh, the market is not there. The market nowadays, you can put something on SoundCloud, and if it's good and finds its audience, it can grow very, very rapidly. We've been witnessing this in the past more than a decade, I think, with many, many top names in the industry right now. So it's helping this kind of democratization of and the access to these tools is helping all of the artists to grow. However, the flip side of that coin is the business side, right? The streamings are not paying as much as selling CDs, but that's the trade-off. You get access to more people, but you're not getting paid as much as you would be if you were selling CDs. So it's kind of evolution of things. We and all the artists need to evolve and adapt to the and find new ways and find new ways how we can present and
No.
find our own audiences out there.
Yeah. I mean, to play devil's advocate on the CD, the physical media CDs versus, streaming. You get paid less per stream, but when you buy a CD, when somebody buys a CD, you don't get paid every time somebody listens to a song. You just got paid that one time. And yeah, you're getting paid less, but there's going to be more, there's more infrastructure involved in streaming first. Well, different kind of infrastructure, but second, it's CDs you buy the CD just once. You don't get the artist doesn't get paid forever, which is interesting. But also I think that it requires people to, I don't know what an artist's cut of a CD sale was, and I'm sure that depended on the artist, but I don't know what the math is of how many times somebody would need to listen to the album for you to get paid the same amount as if you sold a CD. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's from based on my knowledge, we're going more in depth into kind of music industry, but based on my knowledge, it's the sales of streaming are very, very tragic compared to, if you would be back in the day selling some of the kind of physical things and or playing it in the radio and et cetera, et cetera. So it changed the game, but the interesting thing, at least that's my opinion, is somebody is the gatekeeper in here. Somebody is deciding how much they're going to be paid out, and there are platforms that they can compare those payouts. SoundCloud my compared to Spotify or compared to Apple Music, artists have preferences because the payouts are different. And yeah, that's the kind of politics of music industry, and it has its pros and cons, I would say.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, but I do think one thing that I really prefer, like one reason I really prefer physical media in a lot of ways, is that nobody can take away your access to it. Like there's a lot of music out there that's been created over the last 50 years, 60 years. That's just not available on streaming, right? The more indie bands, the ones that weren't on the radio all the time, the ones that did something different. Like that's just not available, right? It's not available anywhere. They're not printing the music anymore because there wasn't a big enough audience for it. But you can't, like if I have the CD, you can't take that away from me ever, which I
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because there's nothing worse than like, going to sit down and watch a show on, like, I watch some movie on Netflix and it's gone. It's like, Dude, like, come on, man. Like, and I gotta look and see where it is now, and it just becomes a whole thing. Absolutely. Do you think that AI generated art will ever be considered like on the same level as some of the masterpieces that have been created by humans?
Interesting question. I think, look, I heard this analogy from someone, and I really feel with it. We have witnessed the evolution of analog photography going to digital photography, or even painting evolving to photography. That was a bigger step than analog digital. And we see every time in the history that when new technology comes in, we're trying to improve what we were doing before and but better. So with paintings, first thing that people were doing with the photography, they were replicating the paintings, meaning, oh, I take the medium and I'll create a perfect painting. So the very, very similar things were kind of coming out of that, right? So you don't need to spend hours painting a nice landscape, but you can take a camera and take this and it can look like a painting. But then we evolved from that and we suddenly started using the cameras in a different way. So it wasn't just, oh, let me replicate what we were doing before, but let me just show you how it can be used in a very different way. And this is what I think is going to happen with, or is happening with AI. We're using AI right now to do things better, what we are, how we are used to doing them. I was like, oh, digital photography, I need to create a perfect, very similar, so it looks like photography, but with AI. And we create that, and we're just, oh, okay, great. But what is the kind of next step? What is the evolution? What we can do with AI? And that's decided right now. That's decided by creative people. Where can we push those boundaries? How we can push this incredible, I would say, like endless possibilities now with AI. What can we do? Like holographic thing, 3D, you know, like with and very small budgets compared to if you were to do it in CGI in big studios. And that's the, I think, evolution where we're heading to, even in Hollywood, even with the like movie industry, photography. And to your question, whether it will be the same value or if it will, yeah, I think so. We're going to take, you know, like nobody has surpassed, I would say, Van Gogh, right? Like with the paintings, but there are amazing paintings in today's contemporary art, which we are like, it's hard to compare to Van Gogh because it's a different ball game. It's a different axis. It's a different thing in here. And that's the same thing is going to happen with AI. These days, if we're talking, you know, music industry or when we look at electronic music, especially, these are the people who implemented AI visuals quite very, very fast. When we look at Sphere in Las Vegas, the visuals that are produced there, not everything is shot on you know on camera. You could see Anima, really huge DJ, Eric Prydz, let's say Max Cooper, and all these amazing names in the industry, and using audiovisual shows, or they're playing audiovisual shows, and they're using a lot of these AI visuals that are there. And this, and I don't think people are just like, oh, but that's AI, you know. But the show, it's a complementary to their music. It's the art. It's and that is masterpiece to me as well. Seeing those things played out live, shown in a certain ways, shown in this today's technology. Eric Prydz, the 3D holo show. It's it's enormous. It's phenomenal. So it's kind of and I believe that this is going to be evolving more and more, and we're going to see like incredible masterpieces created with AI.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, you know, I think about like I agree with you that it's gonna continue to be like used, right? And it's gonna continue to be used more and more and more and in different ways. I don't know if there'll be like a Sistine Chapel type thing that's been created out of AI, right? Something like that. That's like a 500-year-old masterpiece. I don't remember when Michelangelo painted it, but you know, like you look at that, you look at sculptures. I think that it's just different. It also requires a different level of effort, I would say, and a different
Oh,
level
absolutely.
and a very different level of skill to
Absolutely.
carve, you know, something like, I forget the name of it, the Mary statue that he carved. That's just ridiculous. Like that's just a different ball game than than AI generated art, enhancing music, right? But like I've also seen like I've seen Roger Waters play a number of times, obviously of Pink Floyd, and I saw when he did the when he took the Wall concert on tour like 15 years ago, and they had a whole like they built a wall on stage and then like used the whole wall as a screen and projected a whole thing. And like I don't know if any of that was done with AI 15 years ago, probably not really, but it's like these things are still doable, but it's like to your point, the budget required is just much bigger because he can afford it, like we can't. We can't.
I saw the show as well. It's magnificent. I did not I was not at the latest show that he was doing, Roger Waters, but I saw some visuals. And again, I'm not sure how much of it is AI or not. As we're saying right now, the effort, the amount of money that needs to go into that is disproportionate. Right now you can do it very, very cheaply and in a such a good quality, generate images for or generate videos that are incredible. Like, yeah, we're just starting, with this whole I would say AI generated videos, and it's mind-blowing what we can do.
So, and something somebody said on one of the podcast episodes I recorded previously is like, just remember that the AI you're using today, it's the worst it'll be for the rest of our lives. Like, it's the worst, right? It's only going to get better. And you and I both know there's a whole lot of room to improve between here and, I don't know, 50 years from now, which is really, really, really fascinating. Yeah, as you ha having done this for a while, you think about aspiring photographers out there. What advice would you give to somebody that wants to start getting paid to take pictures?
That's a very good question. I think in the recent years, to be honest, it has been a very let's say challenging market, because of where we are in. I believe we are living some kind of depression, so the things are changing. However, where I see, I would kind of rephrase your a little bit of a question, but that might answer it as well, is we see changes that are happening, and we need to account for what AI will change. What is the things that AI will take as a job, whereas what is the things that will stay and will need a human behind the camera and doing that authentically. I believe that, tactical content, what I call tactical content, is specifically things like food photography, but very tactical in terms of, oh, I need to put something on Deliveroo as an image. Or you guys in the US, would you have the delivery platform? What is it called? The main one?
Amazon
Yeah,
or for
you know,
food,
food, food,
DoorDash,
food. Yeah, DoorDash, right?
Uber Eats is another one. Like, there's a bunch of them.
Exactly. And all these restaurants or stuff, they will need to have some images, right? And I would call this tactical images, right? You need a nice picture of a food that will sell. That might be replaced by AI. If you don't want to hire a photographer who would spend half a day doing this, you can just take an image, and I will show you an example because we're talking about this. Let me just show it to you, which blew my mind as well when I saw it. But this would be a typical example of how the content will be replaced, right? So you can take an image off the plate and just take a background and put it together in one prompt and be like, okay, this is the food that we're having, right? So this type of things, I think, will be replaced sooner rather than later with AI, because it has the possibilities, and e-commerce as well will be very much affected. We saw big brands taking AI models and putting clothes on them. It's cheaper, easier, faster to do from the computer screen rather than hire a studio, hire makeup artists, hire the models. Yes, those people will be affected because there will be less and less jobs. And this is where we're going to the advice to young people. It's like, observe what changes are happening right now, because big brands might have a backlash right now, and they will come back and be like, okay, so let's hire a model. But it will change. These things will definitely change. Where I see the opportunity as well, like if a brand is doing a photo shoot, there needs to be a really good reason behind doing a photo shoot, compared to do we need to just generate this by AI because it's going to be used on the tiniest place on our e-commerce platform? Or are we, or is the goal of building brand awareness? What is the goal? Where are we in that marketing funnel? What the campaign is trying to do and trying to achieve? Cinematic advertising in cinemas. Yes, it will be done in some ways with AI, but something will be shot in the real life, right? So it also depends what the brand will stand for, what the values of these brands will be. And I think human-made art will be more and more valuable. There'll be less of it because naturally the AI tools will take over in creating a lot of content, but the human art and human created content and pieces will be more and more valuable. But then we also, like, we are now seeing there is more photographers than ever in the world. There are more videographers than ever. So finding that, I would say, niche, finding that category or that type of photography, music, art that resonates with your values, with somebody else's values in terms of brand, and creating the content that I would say can be really replicated with AI in terms of human connection. If you go to an event, yes, you can create an image of two people hugging, but if it was an event and it really happened and you capture that, that's very different to an image that was created by AI. So I would say that the pictures of reality will be or the videos of reality will be very valuable. Seeing those, so we now see even when we're tapping into politics, we see like lots of things being generated about lots of different conflicts and what is true, what is not. So you won't go to a reliable source, to the photographer who has been doing for years, so you can trust them that that wasn't created by AI. You know, so I would say what was the number? I don't want to say the percentage, but it was more than half, or even greater number of people can't recognize an AI generated image from a human made image. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, it's kind of, we reached the point where, like you said, it's worse than it ever be. But we reached a point where we can't recognize these things. So the advice I would say also to the people that you were asking, to young upcoming people, is to figure out how to best sell yourself. That would be the main thing. But how do you find that niche or that thing that you like, and how do you best market yourself? Because it's one of the things that you can see is like you get to a level of photography or level of artistry or mastery of certain art, but that doesn't really matter these days because it there is a level that you need to cross, but whereabouts you're going up in there in that expertise, it doesn't really matter as much as it used to. Like you mentioned, is you know, Michelangelo and these people who spent their lives practicing and crafting something, or you have musicians who spend hours and hours and hours doing something like this. But what is the goal? Is the goal to master an instrument, or is it the goal to create a song? Is it to create that statue, or is it to master that skill so that you can create not only this statue but this? You know, it's that kind of, and I feel in the world we see a lot of, because of phones and the technologies that we have, people are not bored enough to pick up an instrument and start, you know, playing 8 hours a day just to learn the guitar, or you know, spend 10,000 hours on taking pictures so that they can perfectionize this thing. Well, nowadays it's everybody can be a photographer. It depends on what connections you have, what network you have, who you know, and how you can market yourself. So these will be like the skills to have if you'd like to do something within the art industry.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. I think that you're absolutely right. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, it's all about who you know and who knows you. Like, that's truthfully how all this works. And so I completely agree. I love what I love what you said around, other skills, but just getting, like, unless you're gonna be like playing music live, you're right. Like, you need to get to a like then you need to master it. But if you know, you just need to get to a certain level where you can understand it, and AI can help teach you like how do you frame a shot, you know, how do you, you know, how do you light it, how do you, like, it can teach you a lot of that. It democratized a lot of it. You know, last question, the last question that I have for you is like, in what ways do you think that, you know, AI, you know, it, obviously it's opening up a lot of new possibilities, but conversely, how do you think it could stifle creativity? And could it?
Interesting. Again, various different takes, but I'll give my example as I think that's the best rather than me talking generally about things. But recently, I used AI tool, for example, for helping me with creating my portfolio. So I was like, okay, I could go to a human being and say which image is good, which not, and you know, we can put it together. But what if I use AI tools to look at my images and help me put it together and help me say, okay, this can pair with this and this can pair with that. And I was experimenting with it. And I just literally went with all the suggestions that the AI made, and I put the portfolio together and I was like, ooh, I'm not sure about this. You know, I'm not sure about this because the limitations of today's image recognition or how you perceive things, how you pair together things, what is behind the AI would do. It is very it is a good tool also to use, but it's also like a double-edged sword where you like use it as much and you start to believe like, is AI right? Is the AI telling me that I should put these two images together? Because and but you believe subconsciously maybe this is not the right thing. So you need to kind of find a way where is the cutoff point. And that same thing would go if you had an executive assistant helping you with that, right? Like, what is the expertise that they are bringing to the table? So again, bringing someone who knows photography and has been there years and pay them to help you out with the portfolio, I think it's a better way. Maybe it's a good starting point with AI to do that, but it can limit you in some ways because we start believing exactly what the AI will be saying. And these days, you know, hallucinations, the limitations of that AI has can kind of box us in into a certain things. We see the different characters that all these AIs have. You know, when you chat to Gemini, when you chat to Claude, when you chat to ChatGPT, all of them have some kind of like a characteristic to them. And when they get presented with let's say images or videos, they can analyze it in some ways, but I'm not sure how in depth the analysis would be and how they can evaluate. So the human perspective of it and is necessary. And I would say it's believing also in your own artistic way, your own skills that you right now have, so that you're not over trusting the AI. I did this experiment, but I obviously didn't, you know, changed it into how I wanted it to be. But I could see in my the kind of split in myself and the doubts that it put in my head. I was like, oh, is this the right way to do it, or is it? Or should I do it myself and trust myself better? But we will more and more, I guess, start building trust with AI tools. They're going to get better and better. They're going to be fed more and more information. So it's going to get better. But I think that the core is to stick what you are good at. That's why we use AI tools to, eliminate those things that we don't like doing, repetitive tasks, so we can focus on where we bring value and not to overestimate the AI tools doing your work where you're good at, where you do the unique value. Because we see many people doing that in today's era, and it's kind of bridging back to kind of generalizing about AI, is we see people taking the AI and say, oh, it can do all my work. Oh, let's it can do all my work, and they put it into their most precious expertise and expect AI to do as good work as themselves, and they are the expert in some kind of area. It's like, I don't think that's the right way. I think it's the way of like protecting your expertise, creating the space and time to get better at that expertise, and AI can help with everything around it to elevate that expertise to some kind of way. So elevate your, I don't know, outreach maybe, or your sales or your administrative work, but are you focusing on the art, producing the art, doing the art?
Absolutely, man. I really love it. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up today?
I think that's it. I can't think of anything else. I think we touched on everything.
Yeah, man, really, I really appreciate it, Michael. Thank you so much for joining Robots and Red Tape, man. It's been a great
Thank you, Nick, for
conversation.
having me.
And everybody listening, and I hope you're having a great day. Thanks for listening to Robots and Red Tape.